This anointed teaching by Dr. Beverly Vollmerens comes to you from Christian Family Church International.
Thank you so much. Let's pray. Father, into your presence we come, dear sir, to praise and to worship you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you'll rise up big within me. Think through my mind and speak through my lips of clay, and I declare I'm a servant ready to be used by the Master today. Thank you, Father, the word of God will go like a seed in your ladies' hearts, and it'll be planted and germinate and grow up. And we at Christian Family Church Significance, we're not only hearers of the word, but Father, we doers of the word, and therefore we have great success. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tell the lady next to you, you're so beautiful. I'm glad you're here. Wasn't Pastor Pindy's message amazing? Give it up, Pastor Pindy. And I know you're just going to love Terry. She's just phenomenal, and I'm so honored that they are here this morning. I want us to imagine a world where our children, our grandchildren, are stumbling around in spiritual ignorance, not knowing what to do every day of their lives. I want you to imagine a generation that is stumbling around in despair and spiritual darkness, not knowing what to do and where to go. They don't know how to hear the voice of God. They don't know how to understand the word of God. Well, I can promise you this, and I guarantee you that we at Significance, we are not going to allow the next generation to plunder into spiritual despair and ignorance, but we are going to stand up and make sure that the next generation understands the word of God. We're going to empower, we're going to equip the hearts and the minds of those who follow us. We're going to shape their future so they will be able to be strong in the world, strong in the word, strong women of God, because we as women of God are going to pass down the knowledge that we have of God's word into the next generation and to our friends and family. You know what, family? Girls, in 2018, there was a documentary made. It was a movie about an elephant. In fact, they called it The Elephant Queen. She was about 50 years old. It's a true story. It was filmed in Kenya, and it was about the African savanna and these African elephants and how there's the queen, she was a matriarch of the herd, and how she had to lead this herd, which was her siblings, her daughters, and all those, her extended family, how she led them on a 200-mile journey, a challenging journey through the severe, desperate desert of savannah. But she drew from the lessons that she had learned from her mother, that were passed down from her mother, and she helped her herd find water and give their life-living water in a severe drought. If she had not learned the lessons that her mother had passed down to her, she would never been able to guide and to navigate the herd to give them life-giving water during a severe drought. They would have all died in the savannah. But because of the lessons that she learned from her mother, she was able to guide, to mentor, and to teach not only her sisters and her siblings and her daughters, but those in the extended herd. She was able to teach them life lessons. She taught them how to find food. She taught them where to shelter. She taught them how to make sure to keep the young from the predators such as lions. And there's an incredible strong bond in the elephant population. There's, especially amongst the females, there's unity. In fact, if the one of the females dies, you can read about it. You'll see that the other elephants, they get around, they mourn their sister, but they embrace her calves into the herds, ensuring that not one elephant is left alone to manage that difficult savannah on their own. But they are embraced in the herd, so they are not left alone. Not only will they able to survive, but they'll able to thrive. So the younger elephants, they have the opportunity to learn from the older elephants, and the older elephants have the opportunity of passing down skills, knowledge, and communication on the younger elephants. They do know that elephant can communicate even up to a mile away. So this passing down of wisdom and knowledge from one generation to the other guarantees that the elephant population not only survives year after year, but thrives. Glory to God. And do you know, family, that we are not so much different from female elephants? Because they are social creatures. They love to live in tight-knit communities. And how many of us know, as women, we want to find our social circle. We want to be in a girl gang. We want to be in a club. We want to be in church. We want to find our place that we can fit in. And I believe, family, girls, that we as women, we must rise to the occasion, that we must make sure that we will be able to teach, to mentor, and to guide and disciple the next generation, making sure that they not only survive the journey of life ahead of them, but they thrive. And I'm sure you will agree with me today that we are facing an overload of negative social media, which is causing immeasurable harm to not only our generation, but the generation that is following us. Lies are spewed out constantly about how we should look, what we should do, who we should follow. In fact, right now, the flavor of the month is Taylor Swift, right? How many millions of girls are looking to Taylor Swift as their heroes? But that is not who we should be teaching our children to be mentored by. Our Christian values, our traditions, our morals are under attack every single day. Good is betrayed as evil. Evil is betrayed as good. Our kids are bombarded with things like gender identity. Some think they are cats. Some think they are dogs. They are completely confused. But you know what it is, girls? It is Satan coming against our generation, coming against their identity, trying to steal their identity, and it is up to us to teach them the word, because the truth and only the truth of God's word will set them free. The word of God will set them free. You know, the God made us a woman, women. God was never confused. He is not confused. If he made you a girl, you're a girl. If he made you a boy, you're a boy. God is not confused. And so we need to teach our children who they are, and so they are not confused. It's important that we teach our kids the truth of the word of God, and it is our responsibility to pass down the word of God. I want to read from Psalm 78 this morning, and it says, "Listen, my people, to my teachings and pay attention to what I say. I'm going to use wise sayings and explain mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known that our ancestors have told us, or generations past, and we will not keep them from our children. We will tell the next generation, we will tell the next generation about the Lord's power. And we'll tell the next generation about his deeds. And we'll tell the next generation about the wonderful things that he has done. He gave laws to the people of Israel, commandments to the descendants of Jacob. He instructed our ancestors to teach his laws to their children." Verse 6 says, "So the next generation might learn them and in turn tell them to their children." Verse 7 says, "In this way, they will also put their trust in God and not forget what he has done, but always obey his commandments." So from this psalm, we can see that we are compelled not only to know God's word, but we're instructed that we've got to pass down the goodness of God, the word of God, the love of God, the God account of faith, the miracles that God has done in our lives. We've got to pass them down to our young people. We've got to tell them who the true heroines are in the faith, what a successful life looks like. Many thousands of young people, they look to movie stars, they look to sports people, they look to Taylor Swift, who's the flavor of the month right now. But are these the people that our young people should be following? I think not. I think as women, we need to be passing down and telling them about the heroines in the Bible, the women who are strong in their faith, who are mighty in God, who heard God's voice, who listened to God and were successful. I think about Deborah, a strong woman in God. She not only heard God's voice, but she listened to God and she led an army to victory. Thank God. How many Deborahs in the house do we have? I think about the teenager Mary. Mary was just a young girl, a virgin, when the angel said, "You're highly favored and you're going to bear the Son of God." And she said, "According to God's will, so be it." How many young people will say, "I'm going to do God's will, even though it doesn't look easy, even though it's awkward, even though it's going against the grain, but I will do the will of God." And that's who we should be teaching our children about. We should be teaching about Ruth. Ruth was a woman who laid aside her idol worship, and she followed her mother-in-law. Who follows their mother-in-law today? Hardly anyone, but we've got to be that mother-in-law that our kids follow. We've got to be the mother-in-law that they say, I want to be like her because she follows Christ and she has a successful life. And so because she followed Naomi, she followed God, she had a successful life, she married Boaz, one of the richest men in the area, and she eventually had a baby, and she became the great-great-grandmother of King David. I think about the bravery of the midwives in Pharaoh's day. When Pharaoh said, I want you to kill all the baby boys, all the Jewish boys when they were born, you've got to kill them. But the midwife says, we fear God more than we fear man. And so we are going to do the will of God rather than what man says we should do. And because of those brave midwives, a whole generation of young boys were born. How many women do I see in the house today who say, I'm going to do the will of God? I fear God more than I fear man. Do I see your hands wave? I fear God more than I fear man. And we celebrate those women today, and we're grateful that they have been a source of encouragement to us. But I believe that God is raising up a new generation in 2024, a generation who are going to believe God. Women are going to say, possibly, if I'm going to be brave, I'm going to be courageous, I'm going to be a prayer warrior, I'm going to be a destiny changer, I'm going to be a history maker. Where are those women in the house? I'm going to change. I'm going to be counter God. God can counter me. I believe God wants to raise you up. I believe God, this is your time. This is the time that God has brought you right here for a time such as this, and you are going to not only change your homes, change your schools, change your cities, but change this nation. God is looking for the women who will change this nation, and you are those women, and I look to you today, and I know that you're going to be great influencers. God is looking for a company of women, a woman who will carry the move of God, and that is us. We are going to carry God's fresh move across the earth, across our barriers, across ethnic barriers. We're going to cross cultural barriers. We're going to be the women that God uses, the mouthpiece that He uses to bring healing and hope to a dying generation. Many people have said, Pastor Bev, who was the greatest influence in your life? Well, undoubtedly, my mother was the greatest influence in my life. She was my mother, she was my coach, she was my mentor, she was my greatest cheerleader, and eventually my very best friend. She was the matriarch in the family, just like Queen was a matriarch in her family. She was a matriarch in our family. She had a very tough upbringing, but her tough upbringing, she did not allow that to define her future. Your tough upbringing does not have to define your future. So no matter what you've been through, God still has a great plan for your life. I want to tell you a little bit about my mom so you can understand who I am. She was born on the 27th of February in 1931, which seems so long ago. She was born in Rhodesia. She was actually born with the title Lady Sheila Anderson. I was actually meant to have a title Lady Bev, but my mom didn't think it was right that our generation should have a title. And so she never passed it down, but she never used her title because she said, you don't have to have a title to be the woman of God that He's called you to be. You just have to be the woman of God that He's called you to be. She was sent to boarding school at the age of 6, where she longed for her parents' attention, she longed for admiration, she longed for their attention, but they never showed her any love or any attention. So after school, she decided to go to nursing school, and after nursing school again, her parents never came to any graduation classes. So she met and she married the first man who proposed to her, which was my father, Leader Williams. They had 3 children, 2 girls and a boy. How many are the middle girls? I'm a middle girl. I'm the middle child. You know, the eldest child always thinks they're the matriarch of the family. They're the manager of the family. Then you have the middle child, and then this last one always gets spoiled, right? So when my mom and dad got married, they got saved, and straight after they got born again, God started speaking to my mom in dreams, and she had a dream that she should pack up her family and leave Zimbabwe at the time. And so with a pioneering spirit, my mom packed up her family, and we were actually going to emigrate to Australia. When they got to Cape Town, they were captivated by its beauty and decided to settle there. My mom and dad started a business selling houses. They started the real estate business, and then they were very prosperous and very prosperous, but never served the Lord. And sometimes, you know, when you get so prosperous, you can take your eyes off Jesus. And so, unfortunately, their eyes were off Jesus. And then in the early 70s, they went through a very difficult divorce. And then my dad went back to Zimbabwe to his brothers who owned large tobacco farms. And so then my mom was in Durban. Moved her family to Durban. Now she had the responsibility of feeding 3 children, clothing them, and now educating them. And I wonder how many of you today say, Pastor Bev, I'm in the same position. I have to take care of my kids. I have to feed my kids. I have to clothe my kids. I have to educate my kids. Well, if you're here today and you have got that responsibility, I want you to know that you're not alone. And with God's help, you can do it. I'm going to tell you something, that in those days, women in South Africa never had their personal ID number. If they bought property, their husbands had to sign for it. If they bought a car, their husbands had to sign for it. But I praise the Lord for the courage that my mother had, because she made an appointment to see the receiver revenue, and she sat outside his office. Not one day, not 2 days, but she sat there for 3 days. She sat there until he saw her. And the secretary kept on saying, he's busy. And she said, doesn't matter, because I got a basket full of books and I'm going to read until he sees me, because I'm not leaving here, because we need to change the law in South Africa and women need to have their own personal tax ID numbers. My mother was one of 3 women who applied for the number, but she was the only woman who went and sat outside the office of the receiver of revenue until he would see her. And when he saw her, he said, you need to change the law of the country so that every woman in South Africa can have her own personal tax ID. And because of my mother, he changed the law of the country. And to this day, every woman has the tax ID number. And we can thank my mother, Sheila Williams, for standing up and making a difference. And girls, you can stand up and make a difference for the people around about you, for the women in your life, for the women in your community. God wants to raise you up to make a difference, be a destiny changer and a history maker. Glory to God. God wants to use you. Again, my mother did something unusual. She went and entered the world of commercial industrial real estate. She, in those days, you had to go for an interview with, and it was a man's job. And so she went for an interview for a man's job, and they said to her, well, you know, this is a male's job. It's not a female job. So my mom said, but you haven't met me, and I want you to know that I can beat any man in this office if you'll just give me a chance. Because my mother knew who she was in Christ Jesus and very strong. And so they said to her, okay, we're going to give you a table in the passageway. We'll give you no phone and no secretary. Here, once again, my mother suffered rejection. Remember, she was rejected by her parents who never loved her. My mother can never remember her mom putting her arms around her, telling her she loved her. And she never sat on her lap and heard, I love you, you're good, Sheila. Never heard words of affirmation. And here now, when she applied for the job, again, because of her gender, now she was discriminated. And so she was put in the passage. But I thank the Lord that nothing would deter my mother. She was a determined woman. She was a woman with a will to win. She was determined with a heart to succeed. She was a fighter and she rose to the top. And that's what I believe you are. It doesn't matter who pushes you to the side, who tries to push you down. I want you to know that you are a winner. You can succeed and you can rise to the top, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if you can put your mind to it, God can do it, because nothing is impossible to those who believe God. So she won the real estate award on more than 3 occasions, and she won this respect and admiration of leading businessmen throughout the nation. In fact, everything she did with excellence. And when you see the stage today, I'm a product of excellence that she taught me. And I want to pass it down to you. I want to pass it down to you to be a woman of excellence. Do everything to the best of your ability. The reason why I want to share her story is because many of you never felt the love of a parent. But the good news is once you know the truth, truth will set you free. And you'll be able to live a life of purpose and destiny. As my husband always says, and I said it last year at Significance, it's not how we start that matters. Because when we start in life, we make so many mistakes, but it's how we end up that matters. So forgive yourself for the mistakes that we've made, and be easy on yourself because we're all growing, and we're going to become the woman that God intended us to be. Right, girls? And so today, I've prepared four simple lessons that I would like to call legacy lessons that I learned from my mom, and I want to share them with you today. How many of you would say I'd like to learn those lessons, right? Life legacy number one. She instilled in me the value of my worth. Say, I must know the value of my worth. Not a day went by without my mom telling me, Bev, you're beautiful, you're funny, you're determined, you can do anything you ever want to do, you've got God on your side, God loves you, I love you. So she constantly affirmed me. I, in turn, learned that from my mother and affirmed by my children, and now I am affirming you. I'm passing down the lessons I learned from my mother, and one was I want to instill in you the value of your worth. And you might say, Pastor Bev, that's nice. You had a great mother. I had a terrible mother. In fact, my mother didn't want anything to do with me. I was rejected by my mother. I had a traumatic upbringing. Well, I'm glad you are here today, because even if you were rejected or neglected like my mom was, I want to affirm you, to say to you that you are important. You are unique. You are special. You're one of a kind. There's nobody on the earth like you. No one has your fingerprints. No matter what people have said about you, no matter how many times you have fallen, no matter how many mistakes you have made, no matter how many times you've been divorced or made wrong decisions, you must know God loves you. Our actions, our mistakes, never determine God's love for us. Before you were even born, God had a plan for your life. He's chosen you. He's anointed you. He's handpicked you. You are His handmaiden, and He's planned an amazing destiny for your life. And if we know our identity in Christ and our worth in Christ, we will never worry what people say about us. How negative, whatever negativity they bring or whatever negative things they say about us, if we know who we are in Christ, it'll roll off like water off a duck's back, and we will know that we are in Christ and we are His daughter, we are His handlady, and we are made in the image of Christ and we're His daughter. And we are important, we're unique, and we're wonderful. That's who you are this morning. You're important, you're unique, and God loves you in a special way. So don't allow negative voices to go inside your heart. Let them run off like water on a duck's back. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Say this with me. My value is not in what I do or what other people think about me. My value is not in my children. My value is not in my position. My value is not about my possessions. But my value is in Christ. Christ is living His life through me. Say, I am loved by God. So let's make a quality decision today that we are going to affirm other people around us. So girls, once we know our identity, how important we are, the value of who we are in Christ, then we can move to the second lesson, which is destiny. Once we know our identity, we can move to our destiny. So my mom always told me, when I said, okay, Mom, I've got to find my destiny, she always told me, Bev, find out what you love to do and do that to the best of your ability. Be excellent at it or don't do it at all. She said, don't do anything half measure. And she said, don't allow anyone to put limitations on you, because if you can believe it, God can do it. Don't allow anyone to put you in a box. You can do it, girls. If you believe God, He can do it through you. She reminded me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So how do you find your destiny? Well, when I was 19 years of age, and you heard the question today, I asked the God the same question, and He dropped in my heart that I should go into full-time ministry. And so my mom said to me, Bev, spend time with God, and He will show you exactly what to do. You know, if we buy a washing machine, and it's not working, we go to the manufacturer, and we ask, why is it not working? And the manufacturer who made the washing machine will tell you, or give you a booklet and tell you how to use the washing machine. When things are not working in our lives, we should go back to our manufacturer, who is God, and He will tell us what to do in our lives to get us working and on the right path. Because God knows what's best for us, because He made us, each and every one of us. Right, girls? And so when you find your identity, you can go to your destiny. And then she said, look at things that are practical, things that you're good at. Look at what brings you joy and build on that. Mike Murdoch said, what you love is a clue to the gifts and the wisdom that you possess to complete your assignment. One of my mom's favorite poems, and I'm going to read it to you today, is, it's up to you. If you think you're a winner, you'll win. If you dare to step out, you'll succeed. Believe in your heart, have a purpose to start and aim to help a fellow man in his need. Thoughts of faith must replace every doubt. Use words of courage and you cannot fail. If you stumble and fall, well then rise and stand 10 feet tall, because you determine the course that you sail. In other words, let God lead you and guide you, but then come on, girls, get off the couch and do it. Okay, legacy number three, my attitude. Say attitude. Oh, my word. Have you ever heard someone say, my word, that girl has attitude? A few weeks ago, my grandson, who's going to be a star, well, he's gifted with the Lord when it comes to athletics. So he's you must watch out for Uriah Barnes. He's going to be a star. And if you follow me on Instagram, follow me on Facebook, you'll see how he runs. He runs like Secretariat the Wind. He runs like the wind. But we went to a track meet. Now, Candace has got a two-year-old little girl by the name of Faith. And you know how she had to believe God for that little girl after three boys. And here comes little Faith. But do you know Faith is 2 years old, and at the track meet, she says to her mother in front of all the mothers that are watching their kids, Mommy, please can I use your phone? And she said, oh, no, I'm just busy. And this little girl of two, Mommy, you are on the phone day and night, day and night, day and night. And so Candace said, Mom, that miracle child, she's sassy, and I need to smack her little behind. But that girl had attitude. So, you know, attitude. Do you know that a positive attitude can enhance our chances of success in life? It's one of our most important assets that we have, girls, is having a positive attitude. John Maxwell says, which is Terry's mentor, said, rarely have I seen anything that can be so powerful as a person's attitude. And rarely have I seen anything can be so devastating. For some, their attitudes find opportunity in every difficulty. Others find difficulty in every opportunity. Some climb obstacles with a positive attitude, while others fail and fall because of a negative outlook. Our attitude will either attract success or repel it. And you ask, how is that possible, Pastor Bev? Well, attitude is a choice. Say that. Attitude is a choice. Circumstances, even feelings, should not even determine our attitude. Now, more than 30 years ago, I was on the finance board here in Johannesburg, and in those days, the women were allowed to be on the board with their husbands. Then one day, we were in a board meeting, and a man came in from another church, and he said, I've got an announcement to say to make that all, that Pastor Bev, you're not allowed to be on the finance board anymore. The laws have changed. I thought, now my mother brought me up proper. I know how to behave in a difficult situation. And so I didn't throw a fit. I didn't throw an emotional fit. I didn't slam the door. I didn't bang my feet on the floor. And so I got up and left with dignity. But inside me, I was angry. My mom. So she said, what is the matter with you? I said, Mom, I'm hurt. I'm offended. You know, this man came into our church and he told us that I had to get off the board. Now I want to ask you, Mom, do you think he was there in the beginning when we started the church? No, he was not there. I was the one who started the church with my husband. He was not there. Do you think, Mom, he was there praying on his knees? No, he wasn't there. I was there praying on my knees. He wasn't there. Mom, do you think he was praying with the people in the church? No, he was not there. I was praying with the people. And Mom, you know how my husband is so handsome? All the girls want to fall on him instead of backwards. And you know, Mom, I had to kick the girls on the shins to make them go backwards. Or I had to shove them backwards. You know, Mom, I was there. My husband and I, we started the church together. Was that man there when I put all the flyers outside, out in the mall, inviting people? He wasn't there. And my mom said, Babe, are you finished? I said, yes. I said, I'm finished. So she said, I want to teach you a lesson, one of the biggest lessons you ever learn in your life, if you're teachable. I said, I'm teachable. She said, Rob and I, that's her husband, when we do deals in business, remember commercial and industrial property, when we do deals in business, if it's Rob's turn to go and see a person, they will go. He will go. If it's best for the deal for me to go, I will go. If we need to go together, we'll go together. We do what's best for the deal. We don't do what's best for us as an individual. We do what's best for the deal. We do so we can get the business. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about what's best for the deal. Now she said, Bev, I want to tell you something, that the church is not your little kingdom. She says, when it comes to ministry, you got to look at the bigger picture. It's not about your ministry. It's not about your kingdom. It's not about how you feel if you are chosen or not chosen. It's not about if you're wrong, shunned, or rejected. It's got nothing to do with you because the church is God's business. So she said, Bev, if you look at the bigger picture, you'll do what's best for the deal. And so she said, if you can remember that, you won't be offended along the way. What pearls of wisdom. I thought she was going to be on my side. But I've taken it to heart, and it's helped me throughout my life. I always remember, do what's best for the deal. In other words, do what's best in everyday life. Look at the bigger picture. Don't look at what we want to do in a family. What does the family want to do? What do I want to do in the church? What's good for the church? What do I want to do? I wasn't chosen to hand out leave. I wasn't chosen. Well, what is best for the team? What is best for the office? What is best for the team? What is best for the children? What's best for my husband? What is best for the bigger picture? It's not about us. Watch our attitude so we can have a good, strong attitude. Last lesson I want to share with you today is lesson number 4, keep on living. Say, I must keep on living. In early December 2007, my husband woke up one morning and said, Pop Bev, your mom is going to go home to be with the Lord soon. He showed me in a dream. And of course, my mom had cancer a few years ago, but we fought it viciously with the word of God and we had won. Anyway, she came to see me. Now she's living in Johannesburg, and I was living in San Antonio, and she came to see me, and I could see that she didn't have the same strength that she always did when she walked. I went to the room and I said to her, Mom, what is going on? She said, Bev, doctors have told me I've got liver cancer and I've got a few months to live. But I could tell by her way that she decided that it was time for her to go, that she wanted to go and see my brother who died when he was just 22 years of age, and she wanted to go home and to be with Jesus. And so I said to her, Mom, whatever you want to do, I will come in agreement with you. We spent a wonderful Christmas as a family together, and then she went and came back to South Africa. That was in December. Fast forward now to April. It was my husband's 60th birthday, and as you know, I want to do everything over the top. Yeah, above and beyond. And so I had a hotel, ballroom ready for him. I had a band. People were flying in from all over America to celebrate and honor my husband. But the night that my husband, it was his birthday, 60th birthday, 2 hours before his 60th birthday, my mom slipped into a coma. Just before I was to celebrate my husband's birthday, as I was getting my long dress on, I thought, okay, Mom, what am I going to do now? I have a choice. I can fall into a heap of emotions or can listen to my mom's voice that would be in my head saying, Bev, you've got to do the right thing. You've got to celebrate your husband's birthday. You've got to keep on living. So that night I put on my long black dress. I went downstairs into the ballroom and we honored my husband with joy and laughter and honor and dancing. We were just happy. No one could tell what was going on inside of me. No one knew that my mom was slipping into glory. The only one who knew was me. But I was determined to do what was best for the deal and best for my husband. And so I decided I'm going to carry on living. I'm not going to be the wife that falls down in a collapse in a heap of tears and emotions when I need to do be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and I to celebrate my husband. And so I did that. And then I went upstairs after the party, and she was still in the coma, but the next day she went home to be with the Lord. And so I know what it feels like to lose someone that you absolutely love, that has mentored you and guided you and has been the strongest strength in your life. And so my body was numb for about a week, and I felt like going on automatic pilot, but I kept on hearing my mom, Bev, you've got to keep on loving, keep on having good attitude, reach out to others, be the best wife you can, be the best pastor's wife you can, be the best mother you can, be the best grandmother you can. And the reason I wanted to share that lesson to you, she would also say to me, reach out to others, because Bev, where I am going, you will come one day too. We are all going to go to glory together, and we'll be together forever. And the reason why I wanted to share the story with you today is many of you have gone through pain and hurt, rejections and tragedy. And some of you feel, Pastor Bev, I'm in a numb state. I can't go on. You might feel I'm stuck in despair. I'm in disappointment. But my message is to you today is, girl, you got to get up and you got to live again. Girl, you got to get up. You got to dream again. Girl, you got to get up. You got to dance again. Girl, you got to get up. You got to laugh again. Girl, you got to get up while you got breath in your lungs. God is not done with you yet. You don't have to live in a numb state. You don't have to live on automatic pilot, because God is good when life is not fair. God wants to lift you up and beyond your hurts and your pains. And with God's help, you can turn tragedies into triumphs, messages, bad news into good news. God doesn't want you to endure life. God wants you to love life. God wants you to be inspired. God wants you to inspire others. Your life can count. Your life has purpose. Your life has destiny. This is your day. This is your hour. Will you seize the moment? If this is you, you're going to say, I'm not going to let the devil keep me down one more moment. I'm not going to let the devil keep me down one more day. I'm not going to let the devil come keep me one more hour. Because with God on my side, I will face tomorrow and I will continue. I will not fail. I will not fail. I will run and not be weary. I will walk and I will not faint. And if that is you today, and you say, you may be seated, and you say, Pastor Bev, I'm in that automatic place. I feel so disappointed. I feel so numb in life. But I know that God brought me today, and I know my life is going to be touched today. I know I'll be renewed today. My strength will be renewed. My spirits will be lifted up. I have hope for tomorrow. God is going to make a message out of my mess, a triumph out of my tragedy. If that is you today, come forward, because the girls and I, we're going to pray with you. Okay, us three girls, we're coming down. Pastor Everett is going to make sure that everything is orderly. Pastor, yes, thank you, Lord. Pastor Everett's going to make everything orderly. Come down, girls. This is your day. Pastor Pindy and Terry and I, we are going to pray for you. Now, we're not going to ask you about your life. We're not going to ask you about anything. We know God is in the house. We know that we're going to lay hands as a touch of His anointing on your life, and things will change. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Thank you for joining us during this episode of Living Life with Dr. Theo and Bev Vollmerens. We hope that through this inspired teaching, you had an encounter with God. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Apostle Theo and Dr. Bev Vollmerens and would like to enjoy more resources, we hope you will visit our website at www.christianfamilychurch.co.za, or for our American listeners, www.christianfamilychurchsa.com.